ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वाकदन्तिकम्। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामी नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे वंशकौपथुरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So it is Srila Prabhupada's mercy that we are all here today. We cannot even imagine what life would be without Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Many of us had never even heard of Krishna, and even the ones who had heard of Krishna didn't actually know who Krishna was or is. I meet many Indians, Hindus, in America who were born in India and grew up in India, but they say that they never really understood who Krishna was until they met the devotees of ISKCON and read the books of Srila Prabhupada. Then they understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all others are His servants. And many of them say that they dread going back to India because their family members are so mundane. And their family members tell them, what happened to you? We thought you were going to America to become rich and enjoy life, and now you're coming back to India and you don't drink tea, you don't eat onions or garlic, what to speak of other things? What's wrong with you? But being in Vrindavan, I also have seen a pattern in some of Srila Prabhupada's best supporters or best devotees in Bombay, that they all had some influence of Vrindavan before they met Srila Prabhupada. And I feel that by spending time in Vrindavan, I'm getting a sense of what they had in them that made them made them so inspired by Srila Prabhupada, and what we can learn so that we can experience a type of intimacy in our relationship with Srila Prabhupada based on his life in and affection for Vrindavan. Went to visit the Radharaman temple and Radhagokulananda temple.
Yeah.
They were the first temples that I went to visit on this trip, and it was the first time I was really walking the streets of the town of Vrindavan. And I was immersed in thoughts of Srila Prabhupada walking the very same streets. He would also visit the different temples, take darshan of the deity, sing kirtan, hear Krishna katha, and speak Krishna katha. But there is also a difference in that Srila Prabhupada had a mission or a purpose that no one else in Vrindavan had. And I've heard from devotees who were with Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan before he went to America that he had a very deep sense of purpose. And his thoughts and energy were directed towards his mission. And it is because of that determination that we are here now. And our lives are so different from what they would have been. The two friends of Srila Prabhupada in Bombay that I thought to mention, one is a lady devotee named Mrs. Singhal, and the other is a male devotee named Mr. Setti. Neither of them was officially initiated by Srila Prabhupada, but they were both extremely devoted to him. And even after his departure, they maintained their service with the same enthusiasm. They wanted to serve his mission, to spread his message, and to assist his devotees. So one day, toward the end of the Govardhan retreat with His Holiness Satchinanda Swami and His Grace Puridhan Prabhu, there was a performance of Krishna Leela. And during the performance, there were some Vrijbasis playing instruments and singing songs that went along with the theme of the drama. And I recognized some of the words to be words of songs that Mrs. Singhal would sing to us sometimes when we would visit her at home. And we were so new and inexperienced in India, we didn't know what to make of the songs. Our first thought was, is this bona fide? And then she would explain the meaning of the words. And it sounded very nice, all about Krishna blowing on his flute. And then I thought, is this Sahajiya? But she was so devoted and so attached to Srila Prabhupada and so kind to all of us, I thought, it must be all right. So one day Mrs. Singhal invited Srila Prabhupada to her home for prasad. And she had a very small apartment in Villa Parla, and it was just three of us who were going. Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Goswami, and me. So we got to her apartment. She received Prabhupada very nicely, and even us, later when we would come, she'd offer like a little arti and received us very nicely. And she brought us into the next room, had us sit on the floor, to set up the thalis, three thalis. And suddenly, the door swings open, and she and a lady friend of hers burst into the room, and Mrs. Singhal is playing her violin, and the two of them are singing songs from Braj. And Tamal Krishna Goswami made such a face. And he rolled his eyes and he looked at Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him. And he said, this is spontaneous Vaishnavism. You are just learning to be a Vaishnava. They are naturally Vaishnava. And that was a very profound statement and true. And spending time in Vrindavan now. I think this is the longest stretch I've ever stayed in Vrindavan, ever. I'm seeing there are many advanced souls. But Srila Prabhupada had such faith in the order of his Guru Maharaj and the service of his Guru Maharaj that he would engage these natural devotees in the service of the mission. He told Mrs. Singhal that she should gather ladies together and read to them from his Hindi Srimad Bhagavatam, discuss with them. And she did it. And also every week she had a woman's, you could say, kirtan in front of the deities and do Radharasa. Every Tuesday, without fail, for what turned out to be decades, 10, 20, 30 years, she came every Tuesday, no matter what. She told me sometimes she felt sick and she wasn't sure she'd be able to make it. But she felt this is her service to Srila Prabhupada, to Radharasa Bihari. And somehow, she made it every time. And when it actually became time for her to leave her body, it began in front of Radharasa Bihari during the Tuesday kirtan. She was a very special soul. And she brought that mood of Vrindavan with her. And she was just naturally inspired by Srila Prabhupada. And he encouraged her in her mood of devotion and at the same time engaged her in the merciful mission of bringing the mood of Vrindavan to people all over the world. The second friend of Srila Prabhupada's was Mr. Sethi, and he was associated with a guru in Vrindavan from before he met Srila Prabhupada. And the group of followers of that guru would meet every Sunday and do Akhand Harinam Sankirtan from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening. And then they would sing songs from Vrindavan from 6 to 8. But still, it was really only when Mr. Sethi met Srila Prabhupada that that rudimentary attraction for Krishna and Vrindavan really was developed. Mr. Sethi read in the newspaper that one Swami had come from America with disciples from America and different parts of the world, and they chanted Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Kirtan. So, at the first meeting, Srila Prabhupada asked Mr. Sethi what is his morning routine. Mr. Sethi said, I get up, whatever, 7 o'clock, and you know, I brush my teeth, I read the newspaper, I have my cup of tea and toast, and then I go to work. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And what is the difference between you and a pig? And that was the beginning of their relationship. Mr. Sethi at heart was a devotee and he thought that what Srila Prabhupada said is right. What is the difference? So Mr. Sethi said, what should I do? So Srila Prabhupada said, early every Sunday morning you invite the devotees to your place, which is in the suburbs of Bombay and Goragaon. And you would have Nagar Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan through the streets. And then at the end, you feed them all sumptuous prasads. And that became his regular practice. So I don't have time to tell the whole story. Don't even have time to tell the end of the story. Govinda Maharaj says, I do. All right, so in 1977, which was Srila Prabhupada's last year with us, Srila Prabhupada moved into his beautiful quarters on the top floor of the West Tower of the Juhu Project. And although his health was not good then, but he gave Mr. Sethi a tour. And he said, just see what my disciples have done for me. It was unprecedented at the time in ISKCON. They went up marble floors, carved wood, pillars, and crystal chandeliers. And he said, you know, I always wanted you to join us, but you always said that you felt that it would be too austere for you in the brahmachari ashram. So you come and stay here, and I will stay somewhere else. And he said, no, Prabhupada, they made this for you. Prabhupada said, I'm a sannyasi, I can stay anywhere. You come and stay here. Anyway, and Mr. Sethi also brought up the question of initiation, because many devotees would say to him, you know, you're so close to Srila Prabhupada, why don't you take initiation? But Mr. Sethi always felt that he's not really qualified for initiation, because he was a builder, a building contractor. He had to deal with so many affairs, and he didn't feel he was fit. And Srila Prabhupada said, you are more than initiated. If you get diksha, you can worship the deity, but you are serving the devotees. And that is higher than worshiping the deity. And he said, besides, I need someone like you to do all those other types of things. I shouldn't say, but in the end, it was actually Mr. Sethi who gave a little something to the municipal commissioner that enabled us finally to get the permission to build. Actually, I was just joking. So, but Prabhupada said, actually, I want you to be the way you are, because I have many things that I need to accomplish, and I can't accomplish them through my other disciples. I can only accomplish them through you. So then, in 1977, just getting near the end, Mr. Sethi approached me that every time we have our Akhand Harinam Sankirtan at some devotee's house, what if we have it at the temple here? So we arranged it in the temple, the old temple, small temple, that was just beneath the tower where Srila Prabhupada was staying on the top floor. And so the devotees from that group, the Radha Madhav Premi Sankirtan the Radha Madhav Shuddha Prem Sankirtan Mandala and Prabhupada's disciples were chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Kirtan at the temple. And so at a certain stage, those devotees, householder devotees, they wanted to see Srila Prabhupada, but they couldn't go up to meet him. The lift wasn't installed yet. And Prabhupada wasn't well and he couldn't come down to see them. But eventually Prabhupada came to the balcony and they had come out of the temple and were chanting under his window, and he came out onto the balcony, and it was such an exchange of love. It was intense. Those devotees, householder devotees, they went wild, listened with ecstatic love for Srila Prabhupada. And then the climax of every Sunday's program was at the end of the Vraj songs, one lady would sing, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Krishna. And Mr. Sethi was with Srila Prabhupada at that moment, and he said tears were just streaming down Srila Prabhupada's cheeks. So the next morning, Srila Prabhupada called for me, and Shruti Kirti Prabhu was talking about how Prabhupada could surprise you. Well, he definitely not just surprised me, I would say shocked me, bewildered me, overpowered me. He said, that kirtan was wonderful. He said, you should invite the whole Radha Madhav group and tell them that we will build houses for them on Hare Krishna land, and they should all come and stay with us, and all they have to do is a Akhand Harinam Sankirtan from morning to night, just like they did yesterday. So I was sort of Dina Bandha Prabhu has, and I'll arrange for the weddings of all their children. So I just quickly thought, you know, they're married, they have homes, they have jobs or businesses, they have children who are going to school. I just didn't see how it would work. So I was silent, what he said. But Srila Prabhupada knew what I was thinking. So he said, all right, well, if we can't do that, then all of our devotees should do 12-hour Akhand Harinam Sankirtan from 6 to 6 every day. So, you know, I made a quick assessment of the situation. And I thought, you know, we're working to get the temple ready to open, which was Prabhupada's effort for the last so many years. It was like his main service. It consumed his thoughts wherever in the world he was. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, we have so much service to do. We're trying to open the temple, and then when the temple opens, we have to manage it, and the guest house, and the restaurant, and I don't know how it will work. So then he said, all right, then once a week on Sunday. I was so relieved. I immediately agreed. I said, yes, we can do that. Later, Tamal Krishna Goswami commented, I told him what the discussion had been, and he commented that Srila Prabhupada had done some transcendental bargaining with you. If he had begun by asking for 12 hours on Sunday, I probably would have thought, oh, that's a lot. How about 3? But because he began by, well, we'll build houses for 30 householder families and maintain them while they do the kirtan. And then, okay, well, if you can't do that, then you do it. You do it every day for 12 hours. When it was once a week for 12 hours, we can do that. And that was really one of the best things we ever did in Jupi. So Mr. Sethi continued his service after Srila Prabhupada left, and he recently left his body, means within the last 2 years. And in the end, he was so absorbed in Srila Prabhupada. He had a very big family. He was like the head of the dynasty. He had, I think, 5 sons, and they were all married. They had many sons and daughters, and they were all Krishna conscious. So one day, within a week or two of his passing, he was confined to bed. He wasn't fully conscious all the time. But one day, close to the end, he said, "Pack my bags." And he could hardly move. With great difficulty, they would help him to the bathroom. He said, "Pack my bags, I have to go." So they said, "Go where?" He said, "Prabhupada is calling me, pack my bags, I have to go." And there were many such instances. And then, very near the end, maybe 3 days before the end, he said, I want to go to the temple. I want to see Prabhupada and Radharasa Bihari. And most of the time, he wasn't in external consciousness. But somehow the devotees and the family members arranged to bring him. And as soon as he came in front of the deities and in front of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan, he opened his eyes and he was like fully conscious for that whole time. He had Charanamrita. And they took him home, and then, you know, they were doing continuous Harinam Sankirtan, family members and devotees, and then he left. Before we got the permission to build the temple, which was a big struggle, Mr. Sethi had gotten permission for us to build a floor on top of the old apartment building, so at least there would be a place for the devotees to stay and for Srila Prabhupada to stay. And when the first of the additional floors was ready, Mr. Sethi took Srila Prabhupada up and gave him a tour. And Srila Prabhupada told Mr. Sethi that just as you are building these rooms for my disciples here, Krishna is building your rooms for you in Goloka Vrindavan. And I believe that what Srila Prabhupada said proved to be true. And so seeing the mercy that Mr. Sethi got from Srila Prabhupada, how powerful Srila Prabhupada's mercy was, has just increased my faith in Srila Prabhupada's mercy. That anyone who dedicates himself or herself to Srila Prabhupada's service, no matter what their external situation might be, they can get Srila Prabhupada's mercy and attain the supreme destination, which is the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, in service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar. Hare Krishna.
All the way up to the last year, he's going to the